As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation. Woolchuck's on his way back to the studio after watching this World Cup game with the masses up at Cosm. 2-0, it's gone final. Spain over France. Time now for football's finest, and here's the Chief.
Yes, sir, we got our Jeremy Fowler list today. It's linebacker time, boys and girls, right after this.
But at the end of the day, it's about taking it a day by a time. A day and a day, just continuing to do that.
You cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
We all know who the best linebacker in football is. Say it together as a class. 3, 2, 1. Fred Warner. Braun is just not participating. Are you kidding me? It was the easiest assignment in classroom history.
No, I was looking
and he just went friggin' mute.
No, I was just
Didn't even interrupt me, which I would have appreciated.
Yeah. Fred Warner.
You nailed it.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find out about the Snowden thing.
Yeah, Charles Snowden.
I got distracted on that. My apologies.
No, it's all right. You're handling biz over there.
I'm trying to get the bottom line if it was the DUI or something else we're missing.
No, it's important right now. Yeah. Charles Snowden, according to Adam Schefter, is going to be suspended for the first three games of the season. Who is Charles Snowden? It's a great question. He was picked up by the Cowboys this offseason.
You got a scouting report on him the other day.
Yeah, brought us had a nice scouting report. You like the length?
Yeah.
Okay, you like the capabilities. There's some potential with this guy. For being a rotational edge dude. He's like 6'6", 260 pounds or something. I mean, he fits the bill. He's a get-off-the-bus guy. Okay, you look at Charles Snowden, you're like, all right, he can be on my team. But he's got a DUI arrest from back in 2024. I believe that is the reason why he is being dealt a three-game suspension here. But we will await Broadus's response here momentarily.
On that right now.
So Fred Warner, of course, is still the best linebacker in football. Has been for many, many years. And he's coming off the injury, so we'll see if he can continue to be that. But we know, I mean, he is an all-time. I think offensively, you look at Aaron Rodgers, just all-time Cowboys killer. Mm. I feel like defensively,
yeah,
that's freaking Fred Warner, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the gosh dang boogeyman out there. He sees
pretty
it before
bad.
It happens. He's got nine eyeballs in his head.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that he's got a helmet on. Like, he can see through the helmet with all nine of his eyeballs.
He's probably the number one contributor to that Dak Prescott frustrated losing face.
Yes.
Where he's just clueless.
That thousand-yard stare.
Yeah.
Where he's like, do I even know how to play football anymore? He's questioning his own capabilities.
Freaking linebacker has me seeing ghosts out here.
Yeah. Yeah, Fred Warner is that dude. And not only in the run game, but in the passing game, he's legit. So he's still number one. Any guesses on who number two is? Give me a linebacker name that you think would qualify for being in the discussion.
Jack Campbell, another Cowboys bane. Mm.
Big Jack Campbell.
He's number two?
No, he's number five, but he's on the list, so he gets points here. He was ranked by someone as the best linebacker in football. One of the executives, one of the coaches, one of the scouts looks at Jack Campbell and says, you, sir, are better than Fred Warner. That guy deserves to have his football card revoked. But you also had somebody that thinks Jack Campbell is not even a top 10 linebacker on this list. That's the funniest part about these particular lists that Fowler does. He gives you what their highest ranking was by one individual and their lowest ranking. And oftentimes you'll see a guy who has a super high ranking from somebody and then totally unranked by another. So there is, you know, little consensus when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like even for Fred Warner, he comes in at number one, but somebody thinks he's the fifth best linebacker in the league. Like, that guy doesn't deserve to be collecting checks from the NFL.
Simply. Press pass revoked.
Done. It's Roquan Smith of the Baltimore Ravens, who's still ranked very, very highly here. He comes in at number two. Somebody thinks he's the best. Somebody thinks he's not a top 10 linebacker. That's just the way this thing goes. But NFL personnel evaluator said he's bleeping nasty coming downhill. I mean, that's what you want in a linebacker.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen him play, but you give me one sentence about the linebacker, and you're going to tell me he's bleeping nasty coming downhill? That's my guy. Sees it fast, good blitzer, good eyes, cuts off the ball in the run game. He was a huge needle mover for that Ravens defense when they traded for him a few years ago. I think he's lost a little bit of a little bit of a step, maybe a little half step, but still one of the best linebackers in the league. You're going to like this one, Broadus.
Oh, wait, let me give you this. Oh, wait. I was going to guess Zach Bond.
Oh, Zach Bond? Yeah, please. Comes in at number four. It's a good guess.
Okay.
He's not number three.
Oh,
but
wait a minute. They're not putting my UCLA guy in there.
Let's go. Oh! 1 year in.
Schlesinger?
Carson Schlesinger. That's right. Wow. Of the Cleveland Browns. Only 23 years old.
Huh. Depoy, right? Reigning Depoy?
Rookie Depoy. Yeah. Absolutely he is. They're saying one personnel executive says he's Luke Kuechly reincarnated. And I know Kuechly's like maybe your favorite player you've ever scouted.
Best player I've ever scouted, yes.
Coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Elite speed, athleticism, instincts, ball skills. And he got put in a great situation. I mean, playing with Jim Schwartz. We'll see. They got a new defensive situation going down there in Cleveland now, but they get versed. No more Myles Garrett. But he was awesome. I mean, 2.5 sacks, 2 picks, 156 tackles, 11 TFLs. So obviously good enough to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Plays fast, excellent instincts, good in coverage. He was a second-round pick, right?
Yes.
Second-round pick, yes.
Yeah, so you can you can find studs in the second
undersized
round of the linebacker
sure.
position.
Great player.
Zach Bond of the Eagles is number four, as you mentioned. They say he's got lateral quickness and is an incredibly smart player. Perfect for Dick Fangio's scheme, can play close to the line and get pressure, or can play off the ball. Hopefully that's Jayshon Barham. Yeah, Jack Campbell, as we mentioned, at five with the Detroit Lions. At six, this is a guy that the Cowboys were kicking the tires on. I think the Cowboys wanted to make a trade for this fella. Houston Texans.
Al-Shazir?
Yep. Azeez Al-Shaair comes in at 28 years old, and he's number six on this list. He did just get the re-up, 3 years, $54 million. They say he's the Dennis Rodman of linebackers. Okay, how about that? Does that mean he doesn't shower after games and he goes to the club and picks up chicks?
Oh, he does all the dirty work.
That's what I mean. Like, he doesn't shower.
Yeah, he's a dirty work guy. Yeah.
Poor hygiene?
I would say no. I just say dirty work guy. But not being dirty.
He gets in everyone's head. He can run all day and can play every down. Yeah. Specialized by scheme a bit, they say, but he's explosive and good in coverage.
Yeah, the Dennis Rodman thing could mean a lot of things.
I know. What do you think?
But one of his best things that he did was getting under the skin of the other team's best players.
Yeah.
The battles between he and Karl Malone, the things of legend.
Well, and that's what they say. He gets in everyone's head a little bit. He is a physical, nasty kind of guy. At seven.
Let me guess one.
Please guess.
This is one of my favorite guys. Nick Bolton? I love Nick Bolton coming out of Missouri. That's why he might not be ranked anymore.
He's ranked.
Is he really?
Number eight.
Oh, wow.
So we still need number seven, but he is coming in at number eight for the Kansas City Chiefs there. Instincts, toughness, and production, long speed and coverage, just average, which caps him a little bit. But as a
good player, though.
As a run defender, he's about as good as it gets. Kind of your classic linebacker there. But he can be exposed in coverage a little bit. So
what about
getting knocked for that? But he comes in at number eight. We're still missing number seven, and then we got 9 and 10. Best linebackers in football, according to people
in the
NFL.
Everybody talks about Brooks.
Let's go, baby. You're on fire now. Jordan Brooks, Miami Dolphins, former Texas Tech Red Raider, should be future Cowboy. Let's cross our fingers. Yeah. Trade deadline. Jordan Brooks.
It would make
Max
sense.
Max Crosby.
It would make sense.
Dallas Cowboys collision course. Yeah, he's on an expiring deal. Dolphins are going to suck. You know, maybe they want him for a few weeks of the season. Hold the hand of Jacob Rodriguez, who they just drafted in the second round. Pass the torch. And then hop on a bird and head to the Star in Frisco. Get that physical. I like the idea of that. Eight, Nick Bolton. Nine, Edgerrin Cooper.
Oh, wow.
Of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
Size, speed, run and hit ability. He can really go, says someone. It's his mind, says a high-ranking AFC official. He sees it and can anticipate. That's the guy that I wanted in the Micah trade.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of Kenny Clark, respect to Kenny, happy he's here. Would be happier if Edgerrin Cooper was here. Number 10, one-year wonder for this fella. Just had a big year. Switching teams. Didn't get quite the bag he thought he was going to get in free agency.
Oh, is this a Jacksonville guy?
Now he's a Panther.
Okay.
He loves the big cats.
Okay.
He's Devin Lloyd, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. Coming in at number 10, physical run player, love his length in zone to get his hands on the football. Not as effective in man, can blitz, rush, and is versatile. We'll see how he fares with Carolina. I can't remember the guy's name. It's one of my Italian brothers who's the defensive coordinator, Campanelli. Jacksonville.
Campanelli
in Jacksonville is one of those young up-and-coming guys as a defensive coordinator. Probably will be a head coach in the near future. And he was able to adjust things around Devin Lloyd to really just highlight his skill set. So we'll see how Devin Lloyd fares in Carolina. But one great year in Jacksonville last year.
He gets to play behind the law firm of Brown & Brown, Derek and Bobby Brown.
That's going to help things. Got Jalen Phillips there as well now. Rushing off the edge.
Campanelli? Campanelli, is that how you say that?
I think that it's Campanelli.
Campanelli.
Is how they pronounce it, even though there's an I in there.
Okay.
That they pronounce as a lowercase E. You have Quay Walker as an honorable mention. Cowboys wanted him. He's a Raider now.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Queen, Pittsburgh Steelers. Cowboys, I think, wanted him for a brief moment in time.
Talked about him, yeah.
With That's the Steelers. Rumor. DeMario Davis with the Jets. I think there's a case to be made that he could still be in the top 10, to be honest with you.
Yes, Mario Davis. Great interview.
He's freaking fantastic, dude.
The Jets had a nice free agency and draft combination. I don't know if it's enough, but they've done a lot. They brought in some dudes.
If Geno Smith can just stay out of trouble, dude's getting ticketed left and right.
Is he driving cars
he's not supposed to be driving, speeding with no license. I guess he's off the hook for whatever domestic violence thing took place. But, the Jets have stocked the roster with some young dudes if they could finally get a quarterback and a head coach at some point. DeMarvion Overshown, honorable mention. Can you believe it, boys? We got one.
Got to mention.
NFC Scout says he moves like a safety. Mm-hmm. At least at one point he did. Hopefully he still can. Incredibly talented. We would all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how he does this year after the injuries. Absolutely, that's the key. But DeMarvion Overshown still has made some impressions, some positive ones, in his short time on the field since he's been battling injuries his entire career. But that would be huge. Unfortunately, we do not see the name of D. Winters.
Yeah, D. Winters.
But maybe this time next year, D. Winters is hanging out on the list of some of the best linebackers in football. But, the Jordan Brooks stuff, I think we can keep alive once the trade deadline gets here. Okay, the Miami Dolphins linebacker, Texas Tech Red Raider, and at the trade deadline, I think those could be two put-you-over-the-top kind of moves at the deadline. If the Cowboys come out of the gates hot enough to be buyers,
yeah,
give me Max Crosby. If he's showing that he's healthy, give me Jordan Brooks. I think that could be a game changer.
Yeah. Now I'm, starting to imagine that maybe if you can avoid the Rams, can somebody knock off the Rams for you? Mm. Like the Diamondbacks knocked off the Dodgers for you in 2023.
Yeah.
Then I think, team for team. But, yeah, and that linebacking trio that you'd be talking about right there, your top three guys being Winters, Overshown, and Brooks. Now I'm starting to feel like this thing is a strength, but I think the opportunity for Overshown has to be massive if this defensive line plan comes together.
Sure.
And Quinnen and Clark and Gary, and then Ezra Raku can play the run as well. These guys should be so free to run and hit, and if he can stay healthy, I believe Overshown's going to be in the top 10 on this list next year when we review it. Go ahead and put a post-it note up about that. Cowboys players most likely to exceed expectations is Overshown on that list. Who would you pick? We'll talk about some Cowboys news coming up next. We got Rim Session at 4:40, and then Wolchuk's going to step back in here with you and have a mixed bag. All that and more coming up next year.
I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter. This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation. All right, welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Jerry Jones getting booed at the World Cup game. Must have been some Cowboys fans who were interested in going or are also Spain or France fans. Spain did beat France 2-0 in today's semifinal out there at AT&T, and Jerry Jones crossed that off his bucket list.
Yeah, congratulations, though. And just congratulations. I'm not going to act like I know everybody who is on the committee for the DFW for this career. Dan Hunt being one of them, though. I know he was on with the guys. But congratulations to that group for putting on a great tournament here.
I think we did a hell of a job.
We had nine games, you know, and just the can-do attitude of those people, you know. They did a great job. I'm kind of sorry I didn't get out there and see a match or two, but man, what a great host that city
without
of
a hitch,
is.
Man.
Yeah, they did
and
a great job.
They're already talking about maybe getting it back for 2030, just because the number.
Can we
of,
do that or 38?
Is it 20? I think it's 2030.
Can they get 2030? That's
2032.
Yeah, they have to. I think the next
oh,
two.
Oh yeah, you're right. My
the next
bad.
Two
yeah.
are spoken for. I think.
Yeah, I'm back in 2016.
Yeah,
brain.
I think Saudi Arabia is the one after this.
2038. Next. You're right. Yeah, I don't know how I was thinking 2030. Yeah. Math was off there a little bit.
I was trying
bit,
to think how old I would be with that.
Yeah, in just a couple of World Cup cycles from now, because there's not that many countries that are apparently interested in building the stadiums and the infrastructure that it takes. So
we got them all.
Maybe we're going to lock into a cycle of just going to countries that don't have to build any extra buildings.
Yeah.
Which Cowboys players will likely exceed expectations in 2026 is the conversation right here. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We were just talking about DeMarvey and Overshown. I think sentiment is so down on him now that if he would have a good year, that would be considered exceeding expectations.
Yeah.
This is kind of his last shot, isn't it?
I would say that, I would say that they're in that mode. He's got a contract year, too, believe it or not. And so I would think that if it doesn't work out for him, that, it's just going to be one of those, a player with a lot of promise, but injury robbed him of opportunity. So, I think he's at the crossroads right now.
What if he has an all-pro year and he wants to hit market value?
Probably get tagged.
17, okay. Yeah, you're probably right on that one, unless they got to use the tag for Pickens again.
Yeah, but I think they would. If Overshown proves he can have an all-pro, well, maybe, you know, but again, like, yeah, he made it 17 or 18 games, and yeah, he was healthy. Do you buy into that again, or you, like, ride it one more time thinking, well, he made it this time around. I don't think he's ever going to get the benefit of the doubt on this injury stuff.
No.
Until he has a couple years where he's not being hurt.
Yeah, it would take a couple of years of not being hurt for me to believe that, okay, you just had bad luck. But I remember when they re-signed Sean Lee in 2014 or whatever it was, and he'd been in the league for 3 or 4 years, and half the time he was hurt. But the player and the agent in that situation were like, okay, we don't need market value for the top of the linebacker position because we've been hurt. So I need those kind of players to work with me or a little bit, or you can go get hurt for somebody else. Is the way that I would approach that, and maybe he'd be willing to do a team-friendly deal to stay with the Cowboys or to reward them for their patience and belief in him through those injuries. But I'm not in the habit of drafting injured guys in the first or second round or paying them at the top of their position. But which Cowboys players will likely exceed expectations was the topic that RJ Ochoa tackled from Blogging the Boys. Who would you pick here, Chief? Who would you say a Cowboys player that you believe is going to exceed expectations would be?
I don't know why I'm crossing my fingers a little bit on Jaden Blue. And he doesn't have to do much to exceed expectations, but I do think they will find a way to get him in the offense and hopefully add that element of explosiveness. So I'm going to go Jaden Blue. The bar is really low for him, so it won't be too hard for him to exceed expectations, but I do think he would be one of those guys. And if Tyler Guyton can stay healthy, I think Tyler Guyton will be solid.
Yeah, because the expectations have bottomed for him.
Yes.
Nobody thinks he can stay healthy or play well, but yeah, I think year three, that would be amazing. I keep coming back to what Brian talked about with Jaden Blue a couple of weeks ago, where could you make Javonte Williams your third down back and get Jaden Blue more involved? And if last year in camp we were so excited about him, and then it was just one disappointment after the other with the injuries and the inactives.
Yeah.
But if I could snap my fingers and make that come true, like camp and preseason in September was so good for Jaden Blue, we're talking about him as the starter, you'd have to reimagine everything. You know, with how devastating this offense can be, I think you're kind of letting teams off the hook not having a home run hitter with how many light boxes they are giving you and the opportunity to get up to speed and, you know, make those big chunk plays. It's there. I just don't think Javonte Williams has enough athleticism for it.
How about Siobhan Revell?
That would be awesome. And I think,
is he on that list?
Expectations, at least for me, are as low as they've been since he was drafted.
Sure.
He didn't make RJ's list.
He did not make the list? Yeah,
no, maybe he should. He only put three guys on the list.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had a multiple list of guys here.
No, I mean, I think that's a good name because as a third-round pick was injured and played so poorly, I think a lot of people believe. I mean, I was tweeting about him over the weekend, and I can't tell you how much engagement of negativity I got back on this. Like, this is nothing, right? Sure. This guy is he's a bum. He's a never was. He's a Revell? Shouldn't have drafted him. Yeah.
Oh.
You know, I think there are some people that still want to believe
sure.
that maybe predicted greatness, but I think the fan sentiment is down on him. I would say Deron Bland because the negativity about his injury I think is unfounded. I think you're looking at a broken bone. Those things, when they heal, they're healed. It's not like an Achilles or a patella. You know, like Jermod McCoy struggling to come back from a torn ACL or maybe Savone Revel struggling to come back from a torn ACL. And when those hairline fractures re-break, it's very annoying because you got to be without your guy for 2 years. Yeah. And it feels like this is a new career-defining moment. But what really actually has to happen is calcium has to fill in the cracks. And then the player is as good as he was. So I absolutely think Deron Bland can be a starting caliber corner. And if you get the turnover plays from him, then you know Pro Bowl is still possible with Deron Bland.
Yeah, I mean I will be pleasantly surprised if that ends up happening. I mean I was so put off by what he did last year, and I know that he was probably hobbled, but coming off the injury, then you had that Ted Wynn article a few weeks ago about maybe he doesn't really fit with what Christian Parker wants to do. I'm nervous about Bland.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something that I can't account for right now. Like, is he going to be such a bad scheme fit? But I think Christian Park will be flexible enough to find what he does well. Now, maybe somebody emerges from the depth chart, you know, like a Devin Moore. That'd be exciting if you get the rare, you know, non-first or second-round pick defensive back step in there and be something for you. And Deron Bland's not needed. But I do think Deron's going to exceed expectations. I would say Malik Davis has a chance to do this just because he's kind of the forgotten man in that running back room. Donovan Ezeraku has a chance to do it. But the players RJ Ochoa looked at, Tyler Booker, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary. Brian, which one of those three names most stands out to you in the context of this discussion?
They're all, like, I would say that probably Gary's the one I would think about the most. Because I don't think people think that he could really rush the passer. I think people believe that Booker can play. You know,
yeah, I mean,
play,
the bar's already pretty high for Booker at this point.
Booker will be a guy that will be in the top, likely when they have the guard rankings next year, he'll probably be in the top 10. I think there's a lot of people that believe that Gary can play the run. I don't think they have any hope that he could really play the rush the passer, but I think he can. I think he's going to exceed expectations as a pass rusher for this team.
That would be exceptional. I do feel like Rashawn Gary is going to exceed expectations, you know, just contributing to the run defense.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the possibility now of having four guys down in there that can handle it so well that maybe you're not piling up stats. Maybe it's not explosive plays in the backfield, but we're doing such a good job of restricting their run game with four that it opens up things for the linebackers and the defensive backs so much that, you know, you're not dominating in the sack department. But heck, you know, I don't know if Rashawn Gary ever had the defensive tackle play that he is. You know, Kenny Clark was nice. They played him more as a nose tackle. But now you're putting Quinnen Williams next to Kenny Clark. Like, the amount of pressure they're going to get, maybe it frees up Rashawn to have his best pass rush season.
I think Kenny Clark is just going to be a good player. I think Kenny Clark's probably best days are behind him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when Kenny Clark was like a Pro Bowl player. I don't think Kenny Clark's a Pro Bowl player anymore. But I think that, to me, the expectations for him to be very steady, to, you know, to play the scheme because he understands that he's played in the scheme before. But I think that Kenny Clark gets wore down now. We've seen it 2 years ago because of the toe injury last year because of how many reps he had to play.
Yeah.
I think Kenny Clark is a good player. I think we've seen the best of him.
A little less of him, you think?
Yeah.
A little more Abonya.
A little bit more of, you're going to have to play him because every time we think about playing Jay Toia or Abonya or one of these guys, Bullard or whatever, it's kind of like, how big of a drop-off as it is at that position? I still think Kenny Clark is going to have to play a lot of snaps. And by week, probably 14, we'll be going, gosh, he's played a lot of snaps. So I think he's a good player. I just don't see a Pro Bowl player anymore.
How would you guys answer the question, are the Cowboys going to get Quinnen Williams in the playoffs for the first time in his career? Joseph Hoyt, Morning News, tackled that story today. And he asked the question on Twitter, which active NFL player has more Pro Bowls than Quinnen Williams and also has not been to the playoffs? Active NFL player. The answer is nobody.
No one. Yeah, the Jets will do that to you, man.
Yeah, and maybe there's something in the water in New York because Giants edge rusher Brian Burns is the only active player with four Pro Bowls who has yet to make the playoffs. So he's tied with Quinnen Williams. But it's a great story about him being hungry and the Cowboys trying to avoid three non-playoff seasons in a row for the first time since the Jason Garrett years. Like, there's a lot on the line for the team. There's a lot on the line for Quinnen Williams. I'm not sure what to expect. I would say first-year defensive coordinators rarely find success. We talked about this quite a bit 2 years ago with Mike Zimmer. Like, you step into a situation, it doesn't matter how good you were at your last stop for how many years in a row, you're transitioning. And the same has been true for Vic Fangio. You know, at times they've been decent in year one, but Vic Fangio's defense take a big step in year two. And, you know, that's what this comes down to. And can Javonte Williams replicate the success? I feel like you are on thin ice as much as we can hope for Jaden Blue or Malik Davis. Javonte Williams has been an injury-prone player. And if you fall off a cliff at running back and now you're not a threat there at all, it's going to make it easy for them to sit in those shells.
Yeah, I mean, a big key is going to be the offensive line staying healthy for them. Because last year, I saw the numbers on it. I think they only had their starting five, as we know it, only played 24% of the snaps together last year.
Yeah.
Too many shuffling injured guys in and out of the offensive line. If they can keep that line healthy, which is a big if, but if they can do that, that'll go a long way for Williams.
How good are the Eagles going to be? I don't think we have great answers to that. They're trending down.
Yes.
Could they be worse than what they were last year? Absolutely. If Mekhi Lemon isn't great and, you know, their players can't step up, that's a massive loss to lose A.J. Brown. I do believe, though, Washington can be significantly better. What they brought in defensively, I think their offensive line getting healthy with Sam Cosmi. Jaden Daniels, he was working magic his rookie year.
He was unbelievable.
He does need to figure out how to stay healthy, but I don't think you got to flush the idea of Washington figuring things out here with Dan Quinn maybe being on the hot seat a little bit. He brought in that Durante Jones to incorporate some Brian Flores into his defense.
It's just the weapons, I think, for Washington right now. It's Terry McLaurin and, like, not much else.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It's pretty rough. Okay, we got to run. We got a rim session coming up, Chief.
The Young Mav getting people excited, a Mav second guest special, and the latest on LeBron next year.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Wolchuk is back from watching Spain beat France up there at COSM. He'll have a mixed bag and some other sports here coming up at 5 o'clock, around the bases at 6. Right now, here's the Chief with a basketball conversation.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. Always a special occasion when Wolchuk comes swooping in for a good old-fashioned rim sesh.
Just a good old swoop in. How the heck you doing, bro?
On the heels of the Mavericks number 25 overall pick, Sergio De La Rea's double-double, helping the Mavs in a summer league game. Finally got themselves a victory. 16 points, a game-high 12 assists. Ooh. It was on full display yesterday with old Larry. And I think I'm convinced. I think this guy is he's going to be your backup point guard, man. And this is a guy that can set other guys up. The lobs. He grew up watching Luka. It's crazy to say. Somebody grew up watching Luka because Luka's not that old, but that's what Larry did. And you can see a little bit of that in his game with just the court vision and the ability to anticipate and set other players up. I mean, his lob passes were outstanding last night. There's some creativity to his game, some playmaking. Hit a couple of threes. He still needs to get bigger for sure in terms of just overall strength. He looks like a young kid out there with the baby face and the lanky arms. So he's going to be a liability on defense, and there's going to be some growing pains. But I think he's going to be a guy that's going to play some minutes for you this year. And hopefully Kyrie can show him how to be an all-time player.
Yes, I mean, that would be exciting. You talk about these European players that come over, and a lot of them have vision and length. You know, I guess I will hold judgment until, you know, we at least get to see him in a couple of preseason games. This can be kind of easy pickings, you know, for a guy. But,
yeah,
man, you talk about the tools, and it wouldn't be a surprise at all if this guy can at least figure out how to be a backup immediately.
Yeah, I mean, you want to see him be a little bit more of a threat when it comes to scoring.
Yeah.
You know, if like all you're able to do is be a facilitator, there's going to be a ceiling for you. But if you can be a threat to really be a guy that can score as well as be the floor general, setting other dudes up with the playmaking and the passing, that's going to go a long way for him. So he's got the passing thing down, and 12 assists. Like, that is, I think that's something that translates, just your feel for the game and being able to get others involved. 4-3-2 of the question, is the Woolly Bully faded?
Oh, no. That'll be like a nighttime thing at COSM. If I'm going to come in here and do the show afterwards and I'm driving and the traffic was pretty poor, just not the best idea to be drinking.
You would never be inebriated on the show.
No, of course not. Who just does that?
It's not like you just, to do something like that.
You're a freaking never. Professional. Are you kidding me?
But yeah, I'm a fan of Larry, and I'm excited to see what type of impact he can make moving forward. We'll see what he can do in year one. I do think he will play some significant minutes. I mean, the Mavericks need a guy who can run the offense a little bit behind Kyrie Irving. So I'm pretty convinced that this is a guy that's going to be getting some big minutes. Now, on the flip side of this second guest special, who was our guy in the draft? Who did we want to be the selection for
Darius
the Mavericks?
Acuff Jr.
Okay. Braden Burries. You nailed it.
Yeah,
points to Dawson.
Say, Arizona,
points to Dawson.
What
Arizona,
the hell?
The
we didn't
guy.
Glaze Acuff the entire season?
We did some Acuff glazing.
Hey, but
here's
Burries,
the thing.
Burries was definitely on the list.
Just in terms of being the realistic guy that would be available for you at 9. Acuff was not necessarily going to be there. And Acuff has struggled in his own right. His shooting efficiency has been awful, and his defense has been even worse than that, which was to be predicted. I do think offensively he'll still be really, really good. But Braden Burries was the guy that we had circled. I know, Broadus, you had talked to guys around the league that really liked
they like Burries a lot.
What he was going to be able to bring to the table, and he was going to be that two guard for you, maybe a little bit of combo guard opportunity. But he goes one pick later, 10th to the Bucks. And this dude in the summer league has been awesome. It looks like you have a star in the making. Super efficient, certified bucket, 23 points, 8 boards, 6 assists, 4 steals. That was the thing. He can really play defense for you. This is a two-way kind of player.
And I like Morez Johnson. This is not an indictment on him. I do think he is a winning player and a fun foundational piece that any championship team over the course of the next 7 to 10 years is going to be like, dang, I wish we had a guy like that. But a super role player. Whereas Burries, I think, could end up being a, you know, an all-star caliber player at some point in his career, and they passed on him. And that'll be the guy that we look at and we judge over the course of the next few years. Did they swing and miss?
Yeah, did Dusty May give you the inside advantage, or was there nepotism involved with him wanting one of his guys is one of my questions, because this team needs shooting so bad. And in theory, you have Lively and Gafford. You know, I've been wondering, does the Johnson pick suggest lack of confidence in Lively's ability to stay healthy?
And it probably does. I mean, it probably is somewhat of insurance. When we had Dusty on while you were out, we did ask him, like, what was the process like? His response was he didn't know that they were even going to take Morez and how they even felt. He thought that they liked him because they were asking him about him before leading up to it, even before he was named the head coach. But he told us he was not really part of that decision, which was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll never really know how true that actually is. But I do think the Burry stuff, the Bucks got themselves a heck of a player. And I think Morez Johnson's going to be some kind of bust, but we could look back in 3 to 5 years and be like, dang, sure. Burries he's a real dude as a scorer and a defender. So he's been lights out in summer league. Tip of the cap to the Bucks. Now, when it comes to the LeBron stuff, finally got a little bit more of an update here from Shams. He was on ESPN talking with Malika Andrews, and he says, of course, it's decision time now for LeBron's. He's apparently received all the pitches and he understands the lay of the land with all the potential teams that he could join. And the teams that are still all technically in the mix, according to Shams, Cleveland, Miami, Golden State, Philadelphia, and Minnesota. But he says there is more of a focus right now on Cleveland, Miami, and Philadelphia, staying in the Eastern Conference for LeBron. So we've gotten so much Golden State hype and all the predictive markets, the poly markets and the call sheets and stuff, like over the last 24 hours have really pushed up Golden State, because there was executives yesterday, apparently four Western Conference executives that are like, yeah, he's going to Golden State. But Shams is saying seems like it's more whittled down to Cleveland, Miami, and Philadelphia.
That's fascinating. I mean, Minnesota would be the biggest surprise. I just can't imagine that town has enough sex appeal. But if you're truly chasing your fifth championship, you know, above all others, wow, that would be a fascinating group. Doesn't sound like Minnesota's in the mix. I mean, either Cleveland or Miami makes a lot of sense. I would be worried about the snake-bitten nature of Philadelphia and the guys there that want shots.
With you.
Yeah, I mean, so many ball-dominant dudes that they have there now. You have the Embiid injury questions as well, where you cannot even think about penciling him in for a guy that's going to help you win a title. But the other thing, too, is you know you're going to be embraced in Cleveland and Miami with those fan bases. They are going to appreciate you. In Philadelphia, like, dude, you go out there and things aren't going well, they will boo your ass in seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they will.
Like, you want your retirement tour to be in front of a fan base that on any given night can come across like they absolutely hate your guts? That doesn't feel like the farewell tour that you would want if you're LeBron James.
You're going to get that love in Cleveland and Miami, no doubt about it.
For sure.
You can lock that in.
What if you could deliver a championship in Philadelphia, though, like they did with the Knicks?
Oh, I mean, Barkley was recruiting him with that.
What if you could? What if all of a sudden you show up and you show up in Philadelphia and you deliver a championship there? Is that very much like delivering one for the Knicks? That East Coast, hadn't done it in a while kind of a thing?
Yeah. Yeah, how funny would it be? We end up living in a world where LeBron James has a statue outside of the Sixers arena.
Exactly. 1 year. That would be something.
He's the guy.
I just think there's too much potential hate when inevitably things don't result in a title for you in Philadelphia. I don't know that you want that to be your goodbye. I don't think so.
No, it's very risky. You know,
yes.
I need a soft landing.
If you pull it off.
know, yeah, you're a legend.
You are a legend.
That'd be a hell of a roster. It would.
On paper, looks real good.
It would definitely make it the story of the summer. Okay, we got a mixed bag coming up next to celebrate the return of Wolchuk. Where are you taking us?
We got our buddy Dane Brugler. He has ranked the best wide receivers to watch in college football for the upcoming draft heading into the season. And Python Pizza, would you eat this? That's next in the Nation.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.